The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Bad dog.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello everyone, it's 4am once again. That means it's time for the 4am podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your captain as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
I'm seriously reconsidering my life choices.
I am struggling to stay awake right now.
It is 4am, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, then hang in for this lengthy tagline, because the course has been set. There's no turning back. Prepare your weapons, summon your courage, discover the adventure of a lifetime
in this high school acting course
called Cutthroat Island from 1995.
Another tagline was, making people hate pirates since before Pirates of the Caribbean were making people hate
it
pirates.
It in fact is the movie that killed pirate movies until Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow.
Brought to you by Rennie Harlan. Who we've dealt with before already.
He sounds like one of the Muppet Rats.
Yeah, I forgot what he did, but I know it's bad.
Oh, he did a lot of bad things. Let's see.
Mortal Kombat?
He did Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, Die Hard 2, okay. The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, Cliffhanger,
when do we watch
Long Kiss Goodnight, Deep Blue Sea, Exorcist the Beginning, 12 Rounds, Legend of Hercules, and a bunch of other...
Wait, a TV show?
Garbage. No.
Oh.
I believe that's the...
Sam Raimi, right?
Yes. I believe that's the not rock version of Hercules with an impressive actor that no one cared about.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's go with...
I can't even recall his name.
Stump Beef Knob?
Yes.
Stump Beef Knob it is.
Yes, indeed. All right. So we know Rennie. We've dealt with him before. But what about this movie? When have we dealt with that before?
What the hell about
this? What's your history with this, Brian?
I saw this on TV like years after it came out. I think I was sick on my parents' couch and this was on and I was too weak to get up and change the channel. And like, I just watched it and I never saw it ever again since.
Okay. Rob?
This was another one of those movies that always showed up in ads in the back of my comic books. And I remember, I think it was like Entertainment Tonight, one of those shows. It was just one of those shows that talk about movies, and they were just talking about how bad it was, and I was like, this is not, I'm going to stay away. I've never seen it until now.
Was Gina Davis on there talking about the movie?
No.
All right, Joe.
So a while back... Maybe like 96.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Well, we seem to have a cat in the studio that's just knocking all our shit around for no
diabetes
good reason.
Just got savaged.
Tore his bottom up.
Yeah. Blew his bottom out. No. So around 96, I remember flipping through the channels with one of my friends, and we caught the very end of this movie where like Gina Davis and Frank Langella are fighting. And, you know, the stuff that happens there. And I was like, the rest of the movie's like that. That's pretty cool. And then any other time I sought out information about the movie, they were like, don't touch this with a 10-foot pole. So I'm like, oh. So, yeah, that's literally all I had seen of the movie till today.
Cat's back. All right. Yeah. This is one where, again, much like Rob, I'd seen advertisements for this out the wazoo. So when I started working at a video store, I was curious enough and decided to pop that in one day. And all the splendor that is this movie.
Was
I
there,
never
was
went
there
back.
A quickie mart next to the video store?
Maybe.
Okay.
So kids at home, if you're feeling curious, don't just pop it in, okay? Think about it first.
Mm-hmm.
The more you know.
I subjected the whole store to that one.
Yeah, you gotta think, am I ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Is this going to blow out my bottom?
Can I stay awake for this?
I mean, that's... All right.
All right, so let's go over this movie's history a bit here. Yeah, this movie is notoriously known for being bad, having trouble with production, reshoots, rewrites, all kinds of BS.
Any kind of thing you could think of.
Yeah.
Wasn't Waterworld 95 as well?
I think Waterworld was 95. Yeah. This is 96, yeah.
I don't know.
But for a long time, I'm not positive. I didn't get to find out if this is still holds true.
Ooh. Riddled with phlebitis. Did this come out first, or did... Waterworld came out first, right?
I think so. I don't know. It seems like they had a running competition for who could fuck up their movie more.
Yeah, but it's like Waterworld 2.0.
Until recently, this movie held the Guinness Book of World Records for spending the most money, making the least.
Oh, you shouldn't have told us that before we...
Sorry. But,
well, you could tell that's what we were dealing with. Like,
I didn't say how much, though, so you still can figure out.
It's record worthy.
Yeah, I didn't need James Guinness to tell me that.
Michael Douglas was originally supposed to play the lead role of Shaw. But
that would have been weird.
Yeah, he wanted it only if he could get equal screen time to Gina Davis, and eventually dropped out when he realized that she was
going to try and act.
Perhaps Gina Davis herself and Rennie Harlan both tried to drop out of this project at one point, but they were locked in. Other people that they were trying to find for the lead were Tom Cruise, Keanu Reeves, Liam Neeson, Jeff Bridges, Ralph Fiennes, Charlie Sheen and Michael Keaton.
That was more of just a wish list.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis. Pretty much every guy in Hollywood.
Who would have done it? Emilio Estevez. He would have done it.
Oh, he would have.
Oh,
yeah.
Oddly
enough, not on the list. Yeah.
I got a feeling he showed up and was turned away.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he probably was digging through Charlie's trash and found the offer in there.
Who let Emilio Estevez into the catering table?
It's like, and then him and Joe Estevez get turned out. We're like, all right, let's go home, Dad, or whatever the hell you are to me.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, it's uncle, right?
I don't know. Who knows?
Joe Estevez is Emilio Estevez's uncle?
While Rennie Harlan was searching for this new lead actor, construction started on the sets, and people started doing some rewriting. And when he got back, he was not pleased with it, so they had to start again, which is where a big chunk of this money went.
Whose children did the rewriting? Does it say?
It doesn't specify. Gina Davis did. I don't know. Oliver Reed was originally cast as Mordecai Fingers, because that's his name, by the way.
I don't know who Mordecai Reed is.
Mordecai was the guy with the eels.
I know who Mordecai was.
Oliver Reed was an actor. But anyway, the point is, he got fired after he got into a bar fight and mooned Gina Davis.
But that's still pirate-like, though.
Yes.
He was getting in a character.
Yeah. He's a method actor.
Yeah.
Supposedly, every scene in this movie had 3 cameras on it at all times that you keep filming. Again, where that money went. Some broken pipes poured raw sewage into the tanks that these people had to swim in at one point.
Good.
The production company that financed this movie went bankrupt 6 weeks before it hit theaters.
Good. Wow.
Yeah, they earned that one.
Oliver Woods was originally the film's director of photography, but he broke his ankle on set. And Rennie Harlan is famous for trying to get real action scenes. We'll get into more of this later, but he wants action scenes that look real, so he pushes the actors to do all their own stunts, which is why the scene early on when Gina Davis is rolling around and landing on a carriage was shown on pretty much every talk show she was on to help explain all her bruises.
Well, she was all bruised up and shit?
Oh, yeah, because she did all that herself. So... And now it's the big time. Want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
This was 95 money?
95 money. 95 money.
What studio put it out?
I don't remember.
All right, fine. I will say, real number here. Mm-hmm. I will say $85 million.
I'm feeling $100 million. Yeah, $100
million. I'm going to go with $125 million. Plus an exorbitant Burger King kids meal deal, possibly including glass collector cups. That's glass. That's got to add a little bit to the total.
All right. First of all, you went over. It was 115.
Okay.
Second of all, out of all the times for you to bullshit, you could have had a better deal if you said anything involving V8, because apparently a shit ton of V8 was shipped onto the set from Renny Harlin and Gina Davis for reasons unknown.
Hold on a second.
To prevent them from getting scurvy.
Wasn't this movie associated with Burger King? Wasn't there...
Probably.
Didn't it go... I don't know.
It might have been.
A King Meal, so whatever their version of Happy Meal was, with pirates and shit for this movie. I don't know.
Anyway. The Burger King Kids Club?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, they had a special combo meal you could get. It was just a barrel full of floppy eels.
Wow. But yeah.
It came with fake Gina Davis lips.
Yeah, get some eel fries and a whole lot of disappointment.
Yeah.
More like a fake chin.
Just a whole lower half of the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Like so. Lock jaw's bottom half. Like.
Anyone want to guess how much money this movie made?
I'm going
to
say.
Remember, it's 115 to make it.
I'm going to say $15 million.
You know, I was thinking the 10%.
Six and a half.
Dollars? $1 million?
$1 million.
Okay. Which one I can't tell.
And the four of us together, not knowing what the hell fast food franchise had the kids' meal, says they didn't sell any of those damn things either.
The barrel of eels was not popular. 20 million. We'll go 20 million.
11 million.
Wow. Okay. Not even 10%.
That's a loss of $105 million.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. It bombed.
Wow.
Okay. So, who did get some of this money, Joe?
All right. So, you got Gina Davis as Morgan. Yes. You got Matthew Modine as Shaw, a.k.a. Discount. The fuck was the guy's
Carey
name?
Always.
Just call him Discount.
Just Discount. Discount Carey Always.
Oh.
Frank Langella is Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog.
Yeah, dog.
Dog.
It is spelled D-A-W-G.
Yes, yeah. It is. Do the doggy bounce.
Mari Chaykin as John Reed. Patrick Malahide as Ainsley. And Stan Shaw as Glasspool. Also, Jamie Heineman guest starred as Mr. Blair.
Sure did.
Not really, but yeah. Like him. He looked just like him.
It might not have been Jamie Heineman, but it was definitely his mustache.
Yeah.
That it was.
This is Frank Langella returning to the podcast.
Yes. And Stan Shaw as well, you mentioned. And just for good measure, Christopher Masterson from Malcolm in the Middle. He was in there.
Sure.
Just
in the middle somewhere.
I mainly mention that because there's a chance he'll come up again if we continue with any of the Dragonheart movies. So.
Oh, that was young Iron Fist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Not actually Iron Fist. He just had a sourpuss on his face most of the time.
So, yeah. About as well as him, too.
And yeah, and got smacked around like a bitch, just like Iron Fist.
So good luck to all of you who are trying to follow along as we explain this.
And good luck to all of you that are still watching The Defenders. Iron Fist is still a bitch. Spoiler alert.
That's all right.
I'm still watching The Defenders.
Hey, Joe.
It's still worth watching.
Only 8 episodes. Should be done by now.
Yeah.
I got things to do.
8 episodes of Iron Fist being a bitch.
No, it's more like 6.
Some people have a life, Brian.
That's true. That's true.
Let's just give them a break. Some people have a life.
You want a break? Eat a Kit Kat. Oh, fuck yourself.
I wish it's I had good. A Kit Kat right now.
It's good stuff.
I'm not picking on anyone because I was the first to finish it. I don't have a life. It's fine. Anyway.
You got your water over on your laptop.
I was hoping.
I would have cried for you.
I was hoping. I'm going to eat all these cupcakes. You guys better get on.
I got one. I saw you had one. I was like, what the fuck are those? I want one. Fuck that. One. All
right. So.
They're golden.
Cupcake.
We're going to start this off.
It's like pirates.
Golden. Start out with a little bit of Gina Davis butt crack.
No.
As apparently she was sleeping with Danny Sexbang.
Do not play this up. Like you sexiness. I'm from not Gina Davis.
Playing this up. This is there's nothing special here. She's pulling up her yoga pants, and
it's your yo-ho yoga pants.
This is a menage a trois because a monkey was involved too.
Yeah,
monkey was watching.
You don't know that.
He was watching.
Monkey pussy for me.
Fapping like a champ. So
He was busy taking out balls.
I will say this, Brian, from what I know of monkeys, if he was not down for this, he would have ripped that guy's face off.
So for whatever reason, this guy she's sleeping with is trying to blackmail her.
No, he's the Lieutenant Trotter. He wants to get that reward, but he wants to hit that first.
That was Trotter?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
He looked different.
Because she called him Lieutenant.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't dressed.
I guess, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I guess, like, he's like, you know, I just wanted to get you in bed, but, like, I totally know you're an evil pirate.
So how many people on her ship have hit that?
We don't know. We don't know.
I think we do. So anyway, so...
Jamie Hyneman, if you've hit that,
yeah, please run in. So Trotter is, you know, one of the part of the government. He's like, oh, you're a pirate. I gotcha now. And she's like, oh, no. My monkey stole the balls out of your gun, so...
Right. I took your balls.
I took your balls. And right away, you get the idea that this whole movie is a presentation that should have been on somebody's home video done by a cosplay troupe working off of a fanfic that somebody wrote about pirates.
I also would have accepted, like, high school AV club's first production.
Yeah. Acting? Terrible.
Yeah.
Dialogue, horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Here's part of the thing I was choking back before, because it's just so sad. But I guess shortly around the same time, Gina Davis and I believe Michelle Pfeiffer were in talks of possibly being in a pirate movie directed by Paul Verhoeven, which probably would have been a lot better, or at least crazier.
Definitely would have gotten some butt crack in that.
Yeah.
But there was a whole lot of talk about how... At the time, they didn't think a female lead could hold down an action movie. And I think this movie set that idea back quite a ways. Yeah, cause,
that's true.
Oh, but my God.
You put Michelle Pfeiffer in a pirate costume. Mm. I'll buy a ticket.
I want Michelle Pfeiffer, Gina Davis, and RoboCop, since Paul Verhoeven's involved.
Mm. I don't know how you're doing that, but I'm down for it.
We'll figure it out.
I could leave Gina Davis. I don't really need to be. Yeah.
I mean, instead of the Cobra Saw cannon, he literally just has a straight, like, pirate cannon.
So, like,
Ed 209's got, like, a peg leg and a trifold hat.
Wow.
His stair climbing ability would be hampered even further.
But he's got, like, a little crane they can take him on and off the ship.
I'm now imagining this is like those, you know, the episode of The Simpsons or whatever, where they're going back to biblical times and they're all the biblical characters. So it's like RoboCop, Gina Davis, and whatever Michelle Pfeiffer are, they're all in that machine from Total Recall to bring their dreams to life, and their dreams happen to be on a pirate ship.
You know, Ed 209 does have kind of Popeye arms. Mm-hmm. Like, you just put a little anchor tattoo on there.
And they'd all be, like, steampunk style.
So past the first scene of this movie, right. We should probably get to more scenes in this movie.
Do we have to?
You could tell how much we want to talk about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, speaking of, my second note here is I'm lost.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's happening.
Well, yeah. So, like, they escape this she seals the bullets. She escapes. Yeah. She has two women waiting for her to roll out, so they're riding toward the beach. They show a ship with some guy about to be tossed off the plank, whatever. They're talking. You can't really tell what they're saying.
Well, they're saying exposition, but they're shouting at each other from far away.
Yeah, so it doesn't make much sense. Then, like, she gets to a beach, she fights some guy for some reason, and then leaves the guy she was with on the beach. Like, I don't know what that was about.
Yeah. They weren't fast enough, I guess. The point.
I don't know.
It's a central problem in this movie that there are a few redcoats, but otherwise it's generally pirate-on-pirate violence.
Yeah.
But the pirates don't have, like, colors or uniforms or anything, so you're like, was that guy one of hers? Was that guy one of the bad guys?
Yeah,
was that just a guy?
It's just confusing.
And that's the, like, pirates generally, I'm sure, didn't have uniforms, so it makes sense. Mm. But yeah, you can't follow it for shit.
Yeah. I mean, for our sake, I would have liked it if, like, you know, she had the red colors and they had the blue or something.
Somebody gets some red bandanas on one side of the teams or something.
Yeah.
But
so we found out that this guy about to walk the plank has some sort of mat that the other guy needs.
Yeah, it's Blackjack, I think is his name.
Black Harry.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he's not black.
But
he is Harry.
He won't give it up, so he gets tossed off the boat. Gina Davis is, what's his name, Morgan?
Oh, it's important. He asks, where is it? And he points to the top of his head. He's like, right here. Like, it's in his mind.
Right. So he gets pushed over. She catches him, I guess. Now, mind you, he has an anchor tied to his leg. His peg leg, I think. Like, she catches him and then, like, won't let go. while he's getting shot. It's just a lot's happening. It just doesn't make much sense.
It rips the side of the boat off.
Yeah, he's like, just let go. And like, she holds on. And
here's the other thing, the part of why I was so confused with this. She's in a rush to the point where she leaves her other crewman behind to get on this boat to go save what we will later find out is her father, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yep. But apparently not so much in a rush that she didn't spend the night before just banging this dude.
Well, like, she didn't know her father was captured until after she left, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's really the crux of it right there.
Is that what one of the guys told her just before he jumped off his horse and attacked her on hers while they were running at 500 miles
an
hour?
They were shouting while they were riding, but everyone was shouting at this, so you couldn't really tell what was being said by who and what. Like, it was
as
confusing.
Far as I could tell, she didn't know her father was...
Yeah, that makes more sense.
...being, mutinied against until she saw him on the plank, I think.
Well, I'm guessing it must have been before that, because that's why the minute she got on that boat, she's like, I got to get out of here, and just left those other guys.
But we don't know.
Yeah, I can only assume. Yeah.
Anyway,
but,
all right.
So Frank Langella is the one that does it. He's the one that sends Black Harry overboard.
Dog.
He is dog.
Uncle
Dog.
Uncle Dog.
Yeah. Uncle Dog.
Skeletor dog.
She rescues kind of her father because he gets shot, so he's bleeding. She's on the shore with him. He's bleeding to death. He's like, shave my head. Just trust me. Shave my head. And you go and you do you. You live life and blah, blah, blah.
My take boat's over yours.
My crew. Yeah, take over my crew. The boat's yours now. Come to find out, the map was on his scalp, literally on a scalp. So she cut his scalp off. Like, it's just.
That's just a weird spot to put that.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know.
Keeps it safe. Keeps it hidden. Unless you go bald, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So then, we cut to a ball and it's high society and
I've got big balls.
Yeah. And again, Matthew Modine swoops in and is laying the seduction on some chick, steals some jewels from her and then gets captured. I don't think there's anything else of note in that scene.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
He gets captured and, given over to slavery.
Yeah, not at all settled with his movements here either.
Yeah, that's how justice rolls in Port Royal. You get caught stealing, you're a slave now.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of what...
I think that was how
it went. That's kind of how it happened.
Was that, or I thought they just, killed you? Or cut your hands off? Or
whatever suits their purpose, I'm sure.
I guess.
So, he's now captured. Gina Davis and her crew now show up at the shores where this ball had taken place. And they're looking to find somebody who can read Latin, because I guess the map is in Latin, or so they think, or something. We'll get there. They hear about this guy. He's a doctor, supposedly. It is, of course, Shaw, who we saw earlier. They're bidding on him. They ultimately get him. Turns out it's not really in Latin. It's kind of backwards or
I guess.
Something. Yeah. I don't know, but they have some whole big escape scene that's just fucking nuts.
She wins the bidding war by just dick stabbing her competition.
Like you
do. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I mean, it works. But yeah, so then this escape scene is nuts. Yeah. Like, you get a stagecoach chase, which I was on board with at first. They ran over a funeral. There's just that weird scene.
It was a funeral? That's what that was?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, there was a corpse there they ran over.
So here's...
A mummified corpse, perhaps?
Am I crazy? Like, when I was watching the scene, it almost looked like it was set up like a Sega CD game cutscene.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a QuickTime event.
Or was it was like, not even a QuickTime event. Like,
no, you had to hit up at one point to jump through that window. And
but it was like Lethal Enforcers. Like, it was going along and like this weird...
Like a rail shooter?
Yeah.
Yeah, like this weird slow-mo where it was like kind of normal speed, but just a little bit slow. And then people would fall over here. Like, if you shot them, they'd go,
Well, this movie loves slow motion.
Oh, it sure does. Yeah. And does not know how to use it properly.
No.
For real.
Randy Harlan loves him some slow-mo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just the way it was set up, just, like, the poor camera angles and, like...
See, all I can think is this is every stunt show at Universal you've ever seen.
Exactly. Yeah, it looked like that. But, like, in the context of the crappy film, it looks like a Sega CD game.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's kind of like... someone's shitty recording of one of those stunt shows.
Yes. Yeah, basically.
Like, you'd be better off just watching it live. So, all right. So she can jump through a house, run through a room full of women in dresses, and jump back out the window at the other side of the house at the same speed that the stagecoach is going under the house.
No friggin' way.
And deliver a horrible line.
Yeah.
Like most of her lines.
You remember what it was?
I have to go back there, back to that shop. They had lovely something or others.
I think it's when I have more time, when I need to go back there or something.
But like the way we just spoke it now, just speaking into the microphones just around the table, was 1,000 times more competently sedated than Gina Davis. Yes.
I honestly think they were speeding through the streets on a horse while she had to say that. On a carriage.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah. It was like listening to Speed Racer. It's like, I have to go back there. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Must go back. Ha ha. Exactly. One last time. Ha. Like, it was just bad.
Meanwhile, the British Navy is like, we got to get her. Yeah. Fuck the cost. Just fire on the port with all the shit guns.
Nuke them.
Yeah. We're using the incendiary ammo because holy crap, this stuff is making fireballs.
Everything caught fire.
Yeah.
Everything exploded.
I don't know what they had in those cannons.
Yeah.
And she had this fat friend on her ship with her before she came back to port.
That's the author.
This author guy. She just leaves him behind.
Left him.
Yeah. Well, he left her behind. He's like, I got to go see something about my book.
Okay.
He's like, I could help you, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, her whole thing.
That's right. He did say something like that.
Her whole thing seems to be like, I'm going to show up with like 5 dudes, and then I'm going to cause some horrible thing to happen that's going to make me have to run for my life and just fuck everyone. Like, okay, if you're not with me, you're on your own.
I guess that maybe I missed that part, but at the same time, the dialogue is so incoherent.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's just yelling and fake accenting that's never consistent across, you know, groups of people or individual people.
Well, it's funny because, like, the whole scene, the way it's set up, is the minute she gets ID'd as being this pirate chick, like, they're after her. So her response is, like, you guys go make a scene so I can get away or whatever. And it was like, that's the wrong response. The response should be, I'll make a scene because they're after me.
Because she did.
You guys go get away. You take the guy we're after. You get away and I'll handle myself. I'm used to this. Like, that should have been the response. But it was set up so weirdly. Like, now she has dead weight with her. It's just weird.
Her goons have an interesting, like, good guy teleport. Like, they're just at where she needs to be, like, later on.
Yeah.
They just show up there. All right. So now we climb in the carriage and we got to make jokes about our genitals.
There's a lot of jokes about genitals in this movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. None of them work.
And it, like, here's the thing. If you're trying to set up, like, a strong female protagonist, don't constantly undercut it with her making dick jokes all the time.
Yeah, just have her do the thing.
Right.
She doesn't need to celebrate. Just have her be cool. Yeah.
Right.
I will say this is probably more on Rennie Harlan and his idea of what women
are. Now, are you saying that it's more upon Rennie Harlan or more on Rennie Harlan is the problem?
Wow.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
All of the above. I think this was supposed to be a strong female character, and their best idea for making a strong female character is to have a knife at everyone's balls at all times.
Yeah, it was a bunch of dudes in a room deciding what a strong female character looks like.
Much like it's a bunch of dudes now discussing it.
But yeah.
Hey. So I think they were trying to do something. They just weren't very good at it.
So this whole port was built by doozers, but instead of like spit, they make it out of nitroglycerin.
Oh, everything explodes.
Everything explodes.
So ridiculous.
That's what you use to spackle in between the rocks, right? Nitroglycerin.
Perfect. Perfect.
Holds really well.
Now we got to go see Mordecai Fingers.
Yes.
Which, like, this whole sequence is, it feels hastily written. Like, they wrote it so fast that they just want to get through it.
What?
But the scene takes forever. Like, the whole point of the scene lasts only 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, she goes in, she finds him. There's some weird, like hooker jokes, whatever. Then a fight happens. But it's a 3-minute scene, but takes, maybe 8 minutes?
Yeah. Like in a Slicker-directed movie, the guy would walk into a room, she'd be there, like, pointing a pistol at him.
Yeah. Right.
Done.
But this is a fan fiction.
Yeah.
Well, so, more importantly, we need to avoid things like when she has rope guy or chain guy, whatever you want to call him, who wraps his chain around her neck and is slowly pulling her over this banister so we can get a slow-mo shot of her falling through the table.
Oh, God, slow-mo shot.
And she was CGI'd over on a green screen to fall. Yeah. It was only 7 feet.
It's just her lying down on a green screen, like being slowly lowered down.
Well, that's the thing, especially considering, you know, the issues with her getting hurt on set or whatever. I wonder if this wasn't a, like, we had her fall backwards, but instead of a table, we used a mat. So we had to just CGI the mat out and put a table in or something.
Exactly,
like,
what happened, I'm sure.
Yeah, but why would you do all that? Then just, have her sit on a green screen or something.
They didn't do that. They CGI'd her over it.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't actually fall.
It's just so bad.
Not to mention this dude wrapped a chain around her neck and jerked her through a banister.
So they probably had her fall onto a mat, green screen that, then the stuntman fall through a table and just pasted her over the stuntman.
That's probably,
sequence, yeah.
Neither of those two did their stunt well either.
No, absolutely
none of
not.
That looks good.
I think she didn't actually fall. She laid on the table, like Joe said, and they just lifted the camera up over her.
That's also entirely possible.
Didn't look like stuff
moved. Entirely possible.
Yeah, she was like she was falling.
So, all right. In case you haven't mentioned it, she needs the section of the map for Mordecai Fingers.
Yeah, so the idea is Black Henry was her father. He had the first part of the map. Black Harry. Sorry.
Black Dynamite.
Yeah. Blackula. So he has the first part of this map to his father, her grandfather's treasure. He's got the first part of the map tattooed on his head. Mordecai Fingers is his brother, who has the other part of the map hidden somewhere. And Frank Langella, Dog, the bounty hunter here, has the last part of the map because he's also her
it's
uncle.
It's a family. Like, yeah, they're three brothers.
So the three brothers had the things. She's now trying to get Mordecai to turn over his thing and I think join her group.
Yep, because they're with two ships, they can take on Dog.
Yeah, but Dog shows up and he's like, I ain't having none of this. So shit gets crazy real fast.
And like Joe said earlier, because they're not wearing colors to know who's who.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell who's on what side.
It's just a mess. Just
okay, so a few weird things happen in quick succession. So Dog reaches into a barrel and pulls out what I at first thought was just a tentacle.
Yes.
So it's some sort of nasty bitey eel, and he's like going to torture Morgan with that. Then Shaw's like just going to open this guy's powder flask. Some dude, we don't know who he is, just... Nope. And this dude is like, this chick's about to get mauled by an eel, but fuck it, I need a drink.
Well,
like, he looks like he could.
Was he just the bartender?
Maybe.
Like, who knows? That's the thing. Like, this whole bar, there's tons of people here, I guess part whorehouse maybe or something, whatever's going on. And everybody stops dead, except this one guy who's just like, this is a good time to get a drink.
Yeah.
And just nonchalantly wanders over to this keg.
That would be me, though.
All right. So then, like, mind you, this room is filled with people. And what's the little kid? He's, Bowen, tosses a candle like across the room to Shaw, which nobody even notices. And he lights the gunpowder trail with that and just blows this poor motherfucker across the room. Like
the editing is so terrible in the scene. He throws the candle and it shows it go in front of people's faces. They're in the scene as it flies across, like in front of their eyes.
You and see stay
it.
Lit.
Yeah. It stays lit. Like you
four
see
or five
it.
Different people.
And like no one fucking moved. Yeah. Like edit better. Like fuck. Like what are you doing?
Which also like there's like two or three different candles closer within his reach. Like I don't know why.
I don't know if Rob mentioned it. There was one scene earlier. I think we skipped through the dance scene earlier. But there's a point where there's a woman on the ground who Rob kept saying, why is she on the ground? She passes out later in the scene, but it was edited so poorly. She was still on the ground.
What happened to that lady?
Why is she on the ground? That's her.
That's how bad this movie is edited. Like, it's terrible.
So now you get some swashbuckling bar fighting.
Yeah, quick side note, though. Mm-hmm. We need to, Bowen here. And he's in a Dragonheart movie.
Yeah, I know. Sure.
Okay. Please. Take me a moment. Sorry.
I'm still reeling over the boglins that they were like attacking each other with.
For the eels? Yeah. But okay. So Bowen needs to get this candle over to Carrie Elway's wannabe. Like, wouldn't this be a great time to utilize your monkey and have like hand it to him and he could go across the floor without being too suspicious?
Not without PETA having to say something about
it.
You let that monkey carry a lit candle?
They were probably mad the monkey had pants. Probably. All right. So now,
a decent pair of pants. Oh, sorry.
Turns out So Mordecai gets stabbed. Turns out the barrel full of eels had the map in it.
I believe it was part of the barrel.
Yeah.
Who's got a barrel full of eels, man?
Mordecai.
Why not? They have to sell those Burger King kids meals somehow.
Also, quick side note, if you're selling kids meals of any kind with a character named Mordecai Fingers with a barrel full of eels, there's something wrong here.
Now, there is no proof that says Burger King or any other fast food franchise.
So...
actually carried any of this.
Dog is finally like, fuck this, and just shoots Morgan. And she takes that like whatever.
Yeah. She takes it like a champ.
Like for real.
Yeah. Teaches like Shaw how to kill people. And then cuts the rope to a chandelier, which falls in the bar and causes it to explode.
Yes.
And not just like a little like boom, like a fucking Michael Bay
reaching
the
climax.
Entire bar. Yeah. Exploded.
Not like these were kerosene lanterns that poured out and, you know, set fire to things. Mm-hmm. This was fucking explosive.
Yeah, this is like the bar got hit with a missile.
Yeah.
And then...
Bunker Buster.
The Bunker Buster, yeah. So then they go outside and now there's like a million pirates there that you can't tell who they belong to, but they're all pointing guns at Shaw and Morgan. But luckily Blair shows up. Blair's Jamie Heineman. And they have these like kind of hand cannon sort of things, like these old school muskets that are shooting high explosive cannonballs.
Small rockets.
Yeah, because they're blowing everything up.
It's just I oh
like
God.
Yeah.
What, had the Rock come out yet?
I don't think so.
What?
Maybe.
When was the Rock?
97, I think.
Okay, so maybe Michael Bay saw these explosions and was like. Like everything explodes.
No, I have a feeling so when this movie came out, there was no one in the theater except Michael Bay, and he's like, I could do this.
Yeah. You think Michael Bay is going to go see a movie with a female protagonist? Mm. Please.
No, Michael Bay had a really excited intern tell him about the movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, keep in mind, like, Michael Bay saw this or heard about it and was like, I could do this, but better, and she could be naked more.
So what happened? It exploded, and there were no tits? Okay, actually, thanks, queer.
No, to be fair, Michael Bay movies don't really show any real nudity. It's about as much cleavage as we get in this one. So.
I mean, he does go to the censors and be like, how much can I show to still keep a PG-13?
Plus,
well, Michael, this is based on a children's toy line.
Plus, I bet if you watch the opening of this where Gina Davis is pulling up her pants and you go to that whichever horrible Transformer movie that was when the girls walk around in her underwear, it's pretty close.
Yeah. The girl's a lot hotter, though.
That's, all right. That doesn't He's mean like, anything.
All right, Michael, we'll give you the racist twin robots.
Oh, my God, I hated them so much.
All right, then I'll give it to you. Michael Bay is better at casting. Do you feel good now?
All right, so like...
I don't know if I can accept the sentence that Michael Bay's better.
Yeah, I know.
But, okay, so...
Or casting.
I just got to say one more thing about the scene, though.
Yes.
It's like we talked about with Rambo 3. When everything explodes, explosions stop being special.
Yep. Right.
There is one in this movie that's pretty special. We won't get to that for a while. But, like, for the most part, you're just like, why is everything exploding?
Yeah. It's, again, it just ruins the magic of the word fuck.
You hear that, Cutthroat Island? You ruin the magic of the word fuck.
Okay. You use it all the time. Yeah. Ruins all meaning. All
right. And then on the way out, she looks at a hand that has numbers drawn on the lines on it.
So...
And she realizes that the numbers on the piece of the map that she has might be the longitude. Like,
whoa.
That would be my second guess after the fucking latitude.
Which, that's already dumb as shit to not figure that the map you're reading would have longitude and latitude as the numbers that you're reading on this thing. But this hand, it's a drawing of a hand with just random numbers on it. So I don't even know what the fuck this is for.
I think it was for fortune telling.
Yeah.
I would guess, but
like a palm reader.
Yeah.
So okay. It's the same. It's the same basic principle. It's the coordinates of the hand showing you all.
Sure.
Things.
Like this is like they wanted to be that episode of House where he, you know. he's just doing something, and whatever the other guy says triggers the, you know, medicine that they need, or whatever disease this actually is.
Okay, so first
of all, makes no sense.
Somebody open up that bag of Doritos, because I feel like I'm going to need that sound.
Please do that right now.
So this film was written as a fan fiction by pirate people. And what are pirate people? Brian, put one in his mouth. I'll tell you when I've had enough Doritos.
I don't think you've had enough.
All right, so pirate people, you get fortune teller people, you get carnies and, you know, Ren fairies. And when you write a fan fiction, you don't write it because you love something. You write it because you want other people to love things as much as you do. So you write all this crap. You write all the information.
How's your Transformers fan fiction?
It's great. Okay. It's super long and overcomplicated for these exact reasons.
Yeah, you see, when you really care deeply about something, like, say, I don't know, Pokemon and Ernest P. World, you really want to bring them together and show everyone the magic they can create.
Yeah. Hashtag Ernest goes to Johto, at the 4AM podcast, or at 4AM podcast. Yeah, there's no the on the Twitter, right?
Correct.
Just at 4AM podcast. Anyway, so yeah, when you're writing a movie based on a fan fiction, you know, you can't just say, oh, the pirate went into the pirate cove and fought this other pirate. You have to say, the pirate went into this craggy area and there were these rocks and this thing, and this pirate had this sort of thing because this thing does this, and you have to show it, and that's how that works. I'm gonna eat my Doritos.
Yeah. Wait, all right. Next scene.
No, just real quick, wait. Do you think that's the problem? Is like they wanted to make everything seem excited, so like they really exploded onto the scene and they took it a bit too literally, so everything just started exploding?
Maybe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Where are we?
I think it's more just what's the guy's name? The Kenny Powers.
He's bowing down?
Yeah, no, what's that guy's name? Anyways, that guy's character from Tropic Thunder was just on set, and he was just like big old titties and like setting off explosives that they never even knew were set there.
That's, you know, entirely possible.
Anyway,
I was gonna look something up, but I can't remember what.
All right, so where even are we now?
Oh, all right, so she's back on the boat now,
yeah,
talking about something. She's bleeding out of
pretending
her side.
She's not shot.
Yeah,
opens a bottle of wine with a knife.
You can.
You really shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, you can, but yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah,
but she's a pirate, so fuck that shit.
Because it says in the fan fiction,
she's too hardcore to waste time pulling out a cork.
So she shot. We need a scene where the doctor who they have has to get the bullet out of her, because, you know, that's you wouldn't say he's a doctor, and that, you know, for if you're not going to show him being a doctor. And so he does it. Fast forward,
and he gets the whole room alone too.
No, yeah, it's to build romance between these two, because So yeah, he's digging in her side and pulls out this bullet. They have some whole talk about it. Like, she's immediately just fine with everything.
He just puts a bandage over the hole in her side.
Yeah.
And just, you know, wraps another bandage around that. It's like, all right, it's makeout time.
Yep. She's like, do you have the map? He's like, no, I don't have the map. She's like, if you do, I'll give you a kiss. He's like, all right, I'll take that kiss. But I still don't have the map. Like, oh, we're in love now, I guess, or something.
No, they never are the whole movie. Like, it's like, the script says we should kiss here. Okay. Like, there's no chemistry.
Because when you have when you have fan fiction, chances are pretty good that the person that is writing the fan fiction has no concept of what actual love or romance looks like.
Oh, boy.
So, now Morgan's just like, I'm fine now.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yep. Just go walk around the deck like nothing's wrong.
That's magic.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll give this movie a positive. The two ships, the Reaper and the Morningstar, do look really cool.
Like, real talk, the sets look pretty nice. Like,
yeah, you can see where the money went.
I'll say both of those ships are way too large to be pirate ships. Like, they're straight up like ships of the line warships. but like they still look cool.
Yeah.
It's like you're not chasing any kind of boat down in one of those.
Hmm.
Yeah, they have like 30 cannons on them.
A lot.
Like,
yeah. Like multiple gun decks.
Yeah.
All right. So this is when Morgan sneaks back into the room and, you know, takes out his little piece of the barrel there and figures out.
No. That's
Shaw.
Shaw,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he decides to check out his map versus her map, see what it's got to say. And she's like, ha, I knew you had it, and blah, whatever.
And finally, he's not a doctor. Mm-hmm. He's like, I was surprised you actually let me get inside you like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
just my head hurts.
So she's like, I'm going to maroon you on a rock.
Which also, yeah, at this point, I'm just like, oh, he's not mm-hmm. a doctor. So what point in this movie does she just bleed out and die?
So, yeah, she did pretty well for a not doctor.
Yeah.
Also, like, they're in a storm that's like an explosive storm because, like, just blasts of water are just rocking the ship.
Because at this point, they're being chased, right?
Yeah, no, because her plan is she's going to go into shallow waters because Dog's boat's heavier, so it'll bottom out. That's the plan. But Dog's like, I'm not going to do that.
He's going to tear his bottom up on the rocks.
His bottom up, yeah. So that's he's like, clever girl, you're going to tear my bottom up. So he's like, I'll sail around the island. But this big ass storm comes in and blows the back of the cabin off just because.
Like you do.
Sure.
Like
you do.
Yeah. And that's when traitorous crew guy, Agent Scully, Tom Scully, that's what it was. He's like, mutiny time.
You know what? You put a 1996 Gillian Anderson in this film.
I'll take a 1996 Gillian Anderson.
I was just thinking the same
thing. You got my vote.
I'll take a now Gillian Anderson.
Well, yeah.
You're not wrong. Gods? Yeah. You're not wrong.
Like, no. And any legal age Gillian Anderson, we're good.
Like, for real. Yeah.
All right, so.
But she's better now than she did that. Like, anyway. Off topic.
So they're like, we're not going to kill you. We're going to waste a perfectly good longboat and give you that. And the oars.
Yeah, I don't. This
even though you're obviously going to immediately flounder and drown.
Now, were they trying to not get an R rating? Is that why more people aren't killed outright?
I don't know. They could just throw them overboard and just be like, done. That's not R-rated.
But here...
Because no one is killed outright in the movie at all.
Yeah.
Like, well, correction. Some people are just shot.
People are put in situations that would have killed them.
Because Dog shoots.
Yeah.
Dog shoots, I think, 3 people in the movie outright. Just boom, you're dead.
That man at the bar gets blown the fuck up, but he is still intact as he flies over
but
the bar.
But here's the thing. Yeah.
Oh, and there's just no blood.
Yeah. This is clearly not... Yeah. This is not a movie for, like, younger people, so I don't know why they would bother with this. But, yeah, Dog ends up shooting more of his own crew than anyone else.
Yeah, like, outright.
Just makes no sense.
Do this thing, butt me. Just do it. Like, okay.
So, yeah, like, oh, we don't have enough food. Bam, now we have less mouths. Whatever, we're good. Like, okay.
Dog's henchmen are infinitely expendable, but infinitely loyal.
I guess so.
Infinite. Yeah,
that's the way to be, though, actually. Yeah. Like, you
can get it.
It sucks if you have a hearing problem.
True.
Just be like, sir, please don't shoot me. I genuinely did not hear what you... Pow!
Just, I'll do whatever you want. Just write it down. Just write it down.
Oh.
But yeah, this whole group of scenes is basically her boat gets taken over by another crew member on her ship.
Yep.
They stranded, they put them in the water. Their long boat crashes on the rocks and they find the island. Like...
Yeah.
It's a whole another like 8-9 minute scene that doesn't need to be there.
Oh, also friggin' Author Man takes a carrier pigeon and just chucks that out the side of the boat.
Oh yeah.
To deliver a message to the governor.
So another shit part of this movie is no one seems to guard this map that like is the key to this treasure. Mm-hmm. Like she leaves it out all the time. She tells everyone that she has it. She says, oh, here it is.
And well, she left it out for Shaw, at least, to lure him out. But
again, this is another thing that doesn't make a whole lot of... Yeah, she keeps it in her fanny pack, shall we call it?
Wow.
Or if you want to be less discreet, her pussy pouch.
Well, no, this whole sequence, it was out the whole
I don't
whole
think time. I ever want to be that less discreet.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I don't think Tony understands how anatomy works.
Wait.
You're writing fan fiction?
You watch Broad City, it makes sense. Yeah.
She's got this little pouch or whatever, this pocket that she keeps just in front of her genitals, And like, that's where she keeps the map whenever she's like on the move. But then she just like takes this map out and starts tossing around to the crew to look at. Mm-hmm. And like, hey, here you go, guys. You want to pass that to your friends? Go take it to Kinko's, like, make a few copies. My dad's whatever.
Scalp.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, for the scene though, it's just sitting on the table.
Yeah.
And so, Shaw walks in and copies it down. The other dude, the other guy walks in, copies it down.
Yeah.
No one's guarding any in that room. It's just fucking, just a free for all. Yeah. No one cares. I'm like, so good. I'm glad this guy gets a fucking carrier pigeon that somehow knows to go to where this guy.
Now, to be fair, it seems to be a part of a Looney Tunes character. So maybe it
freaking has, Hodor has many skills.
Yeah. I mean, intelligence.
Like, we found out in World War I, carrier pigeons are actually quite hardcore, but I'm pretty sure if you chuck one overboard while at sea, it'll have no idea where the fuck to go.
It's like, I don't know.
It will pretty much immediately die.
There is water everywhere. Also, I'm not from wherever you want me to go, and I've never been there.
Yeah.
They work. You take one from where you want to go, so when you let it go, it goes back home. That's how they work. It goes back home.
You pulled me out of a cage of my brothers and sisters, all of whom you ate. I'm not a carrier pigeon. I'm a Cornish game hen.
Yeah. Please. So unless this dude gave him a pigeon to send out, there's no way we got him.
I like that idea. It's like, when you need me, here is my pigeon.
Carrier seagull.
It just turns into the lead from Valiant and flies off after this guy, I guess.
But yeah, so this scene takes way too long.
Yeah.
And so now they're stranded on the island. You saw Shaw jump off the boat after them. He lands in the water. He should be dead. Fuck him.
Yeah.
So now they're on an island.
They're all happy they're on the island, but it's like, you don't have a boat.
You have nothing.
Dog knows where it is. You know, like, he's just going to get to the island and kill you.
Yeah.
Also, you want to talk about pointless scenes. They're like, Bowen, get that lizard. We'll eat it for dinner later. And it cuts to, like, stock footage of some lizard clearly not there.
Really?
And that's it. That's all that becomes of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was I out of the room when this happened?
Maybe.
Mentally, I'm sure.
Okay.
It's real fast, but you're like, what the fuck was that? Yeah, it's
literally just like an iguana just going, yep, yep.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh, okay.
Just cause. We need Bowen to be
away. It was like an Italian Spider-Man when it's like, terrore, and he's screaming at the alligator. That's clearly like filmed somewhere else. Anyway, what's even happening? Oh, so yeah, you find out that Dog has allied with Scully, so now both ships are together. They're coming ashore.
And they're, they're just digging around on the side of the beach, but Gina Davis's Morgan here just kind of sneaks into their camp. And
no, it wasn't her.
Nope, it was Shaw.
Shaw.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was Shaw. Yeah. Mine
Shaw sneaks in because he's alive.
Ooh. Somehow.
Sneaks in, breaks open all the cages, and all the dinosaurs get out. I really wish they had landed on either Skull Island or Isla Nublar at this point, because I am checking out hard.
Yeah. So
dude, if what was it, Sauron? No.
Emma?
What's Pterodactyl from X-Men?
That's Sauron.
Sauron? Yeah. Okay, yeah. If he had shown up, I'd be okay with that.
Morph! You were the best Morph.
Was he, though?
Morph.
Yes.
Yeah, really?
I like Morph. Shut up.
Old Morph.
Fake Jamie Farr ass.
Shut Morph. Up. Shut.
All right. So, yeah, Shaw steals Dog's map. He's about to get away with it, too, except a tarantula is just like, hey.
Yeah, what?
It runs across Dog, and Dog crushes the shit out of that thing.
Well, like, this wakes him up because the tarantula lands on him, and he has the sense to be like, oh, something's on me, and he grabs it and, like, could throw it away or whatever. But while the tarantula's still in his hand, like, feels around on his chest and notices his thing is missing, like, you're half asleep and shit? Like, you would just know that? Yeah. I don't know.
And you know when a tarantula is in your hand.
Yeah, like, you'd think you'd be preoccupied.
Yeah, you would freak out pretty quick.
Like, not even, like, he doesn't even use the other hand to feel around on his chest. It's just the fucking hand with the tarantula in it.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it.
I mean, it's different times.
All right, so, Morgan finds Shaw. He's in quicksand. They have a conversation that goes on way too long. Of course, she saves him from the quicksand.
Yeah, you give me the idol, I'll give you the whip.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that Gina Davis had made a better decision how to play this character, because she can't decide if she wants to be like the happy-go-lucky, happy kind of pirate, or like the badass hardcore kind of pirate. So she's neither. And it's like, it's just confusing. You can't tell when she's being serious and when she's
this
you just can't
really
tell.
Would have worked better if there were two female pirates and one was like the happy-go-lucky and one was the serious one.
Maybe.
I think part of the problem is, I mean, that was never the direction for this, but I think part of the problem here is this was intended to be an action movie with a hardcore pirate leader, but it's Geena Davis, who's known for comedies, so they're like, let's make kind of a light, comedic, romantic romp thing.
But it wasn't even
Yeah, it didn't work on any level, but...
All they accomplished was making me go, maybe Natalie Portman can act.
Wow.
Yikes. That's... That's
but yeah, I think it's almost like
I know, I was riveted in Black Swan. I know that.
Never saw Black Swan.
I've seen Black Swan.
Yeah,
I've seen one scene from that.
It's enough.
Yep.
Third scene. No, but I feel like you can almost you like literally tell where the rewrites are because it's she'll change on a dime. like oh, I'm a badass. I'm gonna you know bite this top of the bottle off and start drinking it or whatever. And then the next scene, she's like. Oh, I stole your balls. Witty, witty. Oh.
It feels like someone's first time doing improv. That's how it feels like her performance feels like. It
feels like someone's first time on Earth.
No, that's Neil O'Brien movies. That's a whole other thing. Anyway.
All right, I'm going to fast forward just a little
Thank you.
All right, so they find a cliff cave. They go down the cave. They find a treasure. Dog shows up. They climb back up. Dog's like, give me the gold. I want the gold.
Just quick side note with that. The directions are like it's 75 paces from this one rock.
Yeah.
But apparently those paces are out to the cliff, then down the cliff, and then back into the cliff.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you going to follow that shit?
Was he walking down the cliff while holding onto the rope?
Yeah, I don't understand any of that. But anyway, go on.
Maybe he just wanted you to walk off the cliff.
Probably.
Hopefully. Anyway, so long story short, Morgan and Shaw fall into the water. This like it's like a 50-foot drop onto a rock that you could clearly see is there that he's gonna kill Geena Davis, but like a wave rushes in, and like it's not enough water to break
pelt them against the cliff.
Yeah, like they're dead. They are
green screen action.
Yeah, and like Hudson Hawk style, they're just like, yeah, we're fine.
I got a few scrapes.
Fucking airbags. Yeah, so Morgan, like, washes up near the author guy. Author guy's like...
Shada.
Or, I'm sorry, Shaw.
Shaw.
Shaw's like... I mean, the author's like, oh, yeah, Morgan's over here. Come over here. And this part I don't get. So I understand that he leads him to the British.
Mm-hmm.
And the British capture Shaw. Fine. The British just got here somehow. You don't see a British ship.
No.
Right? And then the governor is making an alliance with Dog for some reason. Even though, like, the British would have shown up with, like, a flotilla of ships, trapped them in that port, and just blasted the hell out of them and took everything for themselves.
Well, I mean...
Correct.
Weren't they... I could have sworn that it was a real thing that they would, like, hire pirates.
They would hire privateers more against the Spanish, which, I mean, I don't know what time frame this is, so maybe that's still going on, but...
I guess, you know, Geena Davis did make him the fool, as he said earlier. So but
I think at this point, the British are like very much like we need to scour the seas of pirates.
Yeah. I mean, the diary Shaw found said 1810 on it, I think.
Yeah, I think by that point, they're definitely like, I think at that point, they're even like cracking down the slave trade.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
I don't know. So anyway, like, yeah, they so Shaw's captured. The British are here now. Without a boat, so they're like, all right, we'll go on dog ship. And they leave, what's his name, Lieutenant Trotter in charge of the Morning Star.
Yep.
And what even happened? Oh, so Morgan washes up, sees that happening. Also, all the other crew members are captured aboard the Morning Star. So it's literally just Morgan against everyone right now.
Yeah. And why is no one killed outright? I don't get it still.
At all.
Yeah, you don't...
Yeah, it's one thing to take the leaders back to make an example of them. But you just kill the crew.
Yeah.
Like the crew just got
well,
guys.
Yeah. This was not a more civilized time, so this isn't like you need to face justice or, a jury of your peers kind of stuff. And two, we've already stated that they don't have enough food to feed everyone for this journey, so you're just taking those people out.
Oh, that's another thing. They're getting food from, like, natives or something?
They probably went looking for bananas, because that's all it was fruit and stuff.
I don't know. It was weird.
So, just fruit and shit.
Yeah, they might have just went hunting.
So Morgan just climbs up on the anchor and just teleports into the area where they're holding all the prisoners.
Yeah. Handy power to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. and like freeze them all without really any trouble with some cool like neck snap in action.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, it's our boat now. Done. Taken back.
I mean, it was already, but
yeah. I wish more scenes were like that in this movie. Where just, this is what happens. Cool. Here you go. Like,
yeah.
Like, don't draw this out.
Like the opening and then neck snap and credits.
Oh, Barrett, at this point, we're near the 90 minute mark, but you're like, this should be over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only. Granted, this last half hour is the only part I think that works on any level.
Well, because it's a battle scene, Joe.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, even that just, it's incoherent.
I think it's moderately serviceable compared to the rest of the movie.
I mean, there's stuff going on.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you who's who.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, because no one's wearing any kind of colors.
It flip flops back from one ship to the other, but I couldn't tell you which was which.
I know Hyman's character because he has the weird mustache and he has dots on his face. Mm-hmm. I know Glasspool because he's black. I know the kid because he's a kid. I know Gina Davis because she's a woman. I know Shaw because he has the blonde hair out of anyone in stuff from the kid.
Well, he looks like Carrie always.
Yeah, and then like then
and you know Dog because he's a dog.
Everyone else is the same.
Distinguishing features. Well, Lieutenant Trotter.
Well, yeah, Trotter he has a weird chin and cheekbones.
Yeah.
So like, but everyone else is the same.
Yeah.
So
Trotter also has for most of this that bright red coat, so that really helped.
Yeah, but like, even with that, he stands up for the rest of his people though. He still stands out.
Oh yeah.
So. They're, like, the battle begins, and all the redcoats immediately die, and they're just gone. Like, the governor explodes, and like, well, I'm sorry, he has fire edited over him, and then he's gone.
Yes.
So, I think it was the same fire that engulfed the cows last week.
Yes, it was.
And then you're just, you are just watching nondescript pirate fight nondescript pirate.
Which... That's fine. I mean, it's cool. It's fun to watch that shit, but like, you can't give a shit about who's winning, though.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Does he have face dots? No. Does he
you
have
can't
breasts?
Even tell what boat you're on.
Yeah, you can't.
Does he got melatonin? No. Okay. Yeah. I don't know who's fighting who.
I'll say there are some cool moments in the fight, though. Like, I liked, Blair versus the bald guy on their ship.
Yeah.
You know, where the bald guy breaks his arm in a steering wheel. So then Bowen shows up and, like, does the backstab. So he punches the shit out of Bowen. So then Blair's like, fuck you, and just grabs his head and shoves it in the steering wheel and crushes it with the steering wheel. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But the problem is, like, by this time in the movie, I was so, like, I just wanted it to be over. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
The coolest scene in the world couldn't have saved it at this point.
It's very much like Delta Force, where you waited so goddamn long for the action to happen. It doesn't matter what's happening now.
Yeah.
Which also... Do we ever get a payoff for that whole shit about his multi-barreled gun?
Nope.
No.
No.
Nope.
Nope. You never see that fire.
Yeah, we got to touch on that real quick. We do see her multi-blade knife, which is just the dumbest thing in the world. But yeah, it cuts aside to, was it Jamie Hyneman?
Yeah. Blair.
Had this, it was just like a flintlock pistol, but it had like 8 barrels.
I don't know if the 8 barrel one was ever a thing, but I know there were multi-barreled guns like that specifically for this use that you just, before you went in sword fighting, you just fired that.
Like displayed out like that?
You just fired it, dropped it, and then went in sword fighting.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So maybe they found like pictures of an actual one and they decided, I need
that's
that in
about
the movie.
All this is good for.
Yeah.
But it's just meant for like ship to ship.
Because you can't be like rearming that thing.
Well, like, and you made a point, mentioned how she has so many guns in her, but like legit, that's what you do. Like, you can't reload, you just have a bunch on
you. Which I'm totally down for that, but it is like we spent a few minutes watching him load this one particular weapon. So like I kind of, you know, expected to see it somewhere.
Yeah.
But like I guess true to life, it just, you know, battle starts, he fires it, and then it's gone.
I'm picturing, like, they were going to film that scene, and he just, like, fumbled it over the boat and dropped it in the water. Well, all right, forget about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the...
Make another one.
It's that guy, Snellgrave, the guy with the chain arm.
Oh, I forgot about that guy.
Fighting Glasspool. I thought that fight was pretty cool.
Pirate Scorpion.
Yeah. So, you know, first two distinct pirates with... One guy's got a hatchet and a cutlass. One guy's got a cutlass and a chain arm. And it ends up getting wrapped around the anchor. So Glasspool cuts the line and, like, he gets keel hauled basically over the side of the boat.
Drops over the side. And he's gone.
Gina Davis has a triple dagger, like a Klingon kind of deal, but even stupider.
Yep.
I think that was the trailer for the movie, was that scene.
Her throwing the dagger?
Yeah. No, when it opens. Well, like,
yeah.
Like
oh, going, yeah, I do remember seeing that.
I think that was the trailer.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's so stupid.
Like, so stupid. It would make a lot more sense if she just fought with a sai in her other hand.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But that's like, one of her blades had two pronounced, like, guards on the blade.
And they even made daggers with guards that were kind of shaped like a V that went up to do stuff like that.
I mean, all that aside, I think the bigger problem is this falls into that same problem I have with Pacific Rim, where it's like, if this is what you want to do, then do that throughout the movie.
Yeah.
You can't just pull this out at the last fucking second when it's convenient. Like, just out of nowhere, suddenly like, oh, here, for this one scene, now I got this, you know, future knife.
Yeah, tell us in the beginning, it's like, it's going to be this dumb throughout.
Yeah! I mean, that's not always better, kind of like it's fucking Jonah Hex syndrome, but...
She did have a monkey steal a guy's balls
scene
one, so kind of...
But I mean, like, they just, this shows up for, like, a scene, doesn't do a whole lot, and then it's just not seen again. Like, what was the point?
We also see Lieutenant Trotter now joins the pirates and kills one of the guys on Dog's crew.
Yeah.
Whatever. So now we get to the big climactic battle. So you got Shaw's trapped because he went after the gold. And this is when Morgan was like, I'm going to go blow out his bottom. And just walks into the fucking powder stores of the Reaper. No one's there. No one's below deck at all.
Nope. Ship is on fire.
Ship's already on fire. Yeah. And, like, she just gets a barrel and casually lays out a line of gunpowder to blow up part of the powder magazine, I guess.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Because, spoiler alert, there's another explosion later.
Yeah.
But you would think that would have blown up everything there was to begin with.
Like
that
should have been it.
Yeah, maybe that's a smaller powder magazine, but, like, when one of those goes, the ship's done.
Yeah.
Like, now granted, the ship does start to sink, but, like, the ship's done when one of those goes off. Like, it's not in one piece anymore.
It's doing enough damage where that thing's taking on water real fast.
All right, but we got other shit to worry about. We got a loaded dog and Morgan, and they got to have a sword fight.
Yeah. Which, again, I like, she blows this thing up, and Discount Carrie Elway's, Shaw, gets trapped by this, the gold and everything. And he's like, oh, help me. And she's like, oh, hold on a second. I gotta go fight this dude. And like, he's just drowning. Like,
even though it looks like Dog can't even figure out how to get down there.
Yeah.
Like you got a little bit of time, like help Shaw out.
Well, yeah, but he's also totally just like, you come get me or whatever. And it's like, she could have just taken a moment and been like, I'm going to take this thing off his foot. All right, then I'll come after you.
No, he has this weird logic fault where he's like, I'm going to get you. And he's like, come up to me.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Where am I going?
Age before beauty. Come on up here.
Yeah, I'm going to come down and get you. Yeah. Oh, actually, that looks a little further than I thought. You come here. Yeah,
I'm quite a bit older. My hips are fragile. In fact,
let's go even higher. And just starts climbing the mast.
I mean, the fight's not good.
No.
I mean, it's better than, like, fucking Davy Jones and Jack Sparrow balancing on the sail and sword fighting. But it's not much better.
I'm going to have to rewatch.
Jack Sparrow!
I'm going to have to rewatch those films.
Better is a tough word here, but, like, it's Johnny less ridiculous.
Yeah. So, like, the pirate movies are very...
All right, now, Brian, like, try it with another film.
They have Jerry Bruckheimer's. Yeah.
Well, the pirate movies tell you in the beginning it's going to be this dumb.
Yeah. And I mean. Oh,
but it just gets dumber all the time.
That's the problem, because in the first one, they're like, it's going to be this dumb. And you're like, all right, I'm okay with that dumb.
Yeah.
But second at the same one, they're time, like, three times the dumb.
At the same time, for the most part, they're well made and they're fun. Even the dumb parts are like
silly.
They
have a fun character.
Yeah, like, you know, it's dumb. Mm. Like, it's that's the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But this is like. I don't know what you want me to think here.
I don't know. So anyway, like,
but I think if you take these fights and put them in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies instead of their fights, it's a much better movie.
I think I would have liked it better. Yeah. So this fight, they cover all the bases. They fight around the deck. They climb up the riggings. They fight on the sails. They fight in the crow's nest. he just punches the shit out of her when he gets her in there. Sure does. Like, he just wails on her.
That's why she really had to break this.
And then he throws her off the crow's nest into the cargo hold.
Hold on. Yep. He lays her on a green screen.
Yeah. Gently and lays her down.
The camera up quickly away from her.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Not even quickly.
And she falls on like a tarp covered pile of something, but it was not soft. Like,
this is
I think that was the main powder store.
It might have been. Yeah. This is another one of those where they're like, you know, if you land in the dumpster, you'll survive from jumping off a thing. But they're like, well, no, because that trash is going to be like glass bottles and shit. Like this, there's no question about it. She's landing on like barrels and what's left of what used to be the cage that was above this area and shit. Like it's nothing you want to land on from a long fall like that. She would be dead again for like the 12th time in this movie.
But that's like the appetizer of the ridiculous you're about to get. That's just like the super salad. You know, now you're going on to like the first and second course here.
Yeah. So now Dahl comes down.
Yep.
To like check on the body.
Mm-hmm.
And like.
Oh, he has like an orgasm on top of the crow's nest.
Oh, yes. He is a quickening.
I should point out, he's got a giant boner this whole time. He's like, I love this.
But like, he comes down and do they even fight? No.
Talking shit to her while she's crawling away from him, acting like she's more injured than she is.
So here's a problem I had. So she grabs a torch, a stick that's just on fire because the entire ship is on fire. And he makes a comment, are you going to beat me with a stick? And that's when I had an out-of-body experience. I felt like, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but like my brain just went out.
So I don't know about you, but I'm out of here.
Like, I believe you cried.
I did.
Yeah.
Because my brain suddenly went to the episode Code of Hero from Beast Wars, where Megatron.
Is that like your comfort place where you retreat to?
It is. Well, also.
It shouldn't be a comfort place.
Because Megatron has all but defeated Dinobot. And the last thing Dinobot can do is grab a stick. And Megatron starts talking trash to him. All right, what are you going to beat me with a stick? And Dinobot does the most awesome things ever.
Beats him with a stick?
He beats him with a stick.
He beats him really shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. It's like the best episode of a cartoon ever.
To be fair, it's not just a stick. Like, he grabs the stick and he's like, I can do this. And, like, slams it on a rock. So now he's basically got a small, like, sledgehammer and just starts smashing him in the face.
Mm-hmm. Dude, anyway. it's like the best episode of anything ever.
So not the best episode of anything ever.
Yeah. And then I'm like rocketed back to this and I'm just like, I can't do this.
It's important to point out there is no mystery that she's sitting next to a cannon.
No, absolutely not. You
can clearly see that's what's under there.
She's got a torch now.
Dog can absolutely see that he's standing in front of a cannon.
So what happens now?
It is covered with a sheet or something.
Not for long.
Yeah, not for long.
No.
But it's clearly the outline of a cannon.
Yes. But, well, here's the thing that's like, the only defense I could give him is he's probably thinking this is just an extra cannon because it's not aimed outward.
Why would it be stored loaded like that pointed inside the ship?
So I'm thinking that's what he was thinking.
Yeah.
But that's a valid point. Why is it?
Well, in fairness, she had a little bit of time. Maybe she somehow loaded it.
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe. So, I don't know.
I just say that I would have liked it if she just reached behind her and like you just see her hand on a stick and he's like, what are you going to do? Beat me with a stick? And she just was like, yes. And then pulled a flaming stick out and smashed him in the face and his head caught on fire. Mm. I'd be down for that. Anyway.
But instead. After the what are you going to do with a stick line, goes, no, bad dog.
Not in any cool way. She's just like, bad dog.
Ball.
It's just Gina Davis staring at a camera and saying, bad dog.
I wonder how many takes that was.
It was absolutely one. This is a one-take movie.
All right.
There is more passion and enthusiasm in the announcement of bad robot that they use at the end of everything J.J. Abrams does.
Rennie Harlan tried to do this as like an OK Go video. He was like, can we do this whole thing in sequence at once? And they were like,
some of the studs look like it.
Yeah, they do. And they were like, Ernie, that's not how this works, man.
So I'm the director. I say how things work.
We skipped over the beginning when they're jumping down through a bunch of refrigerating or whatever. Just and they're clearly like, or scaffolds, yeah. And they're clearly like on ropes being lowered slowly.
Yeah.
And
it's just, yeah. So anyway, she says bad dog. Yeah. She lights his cannon. Frank Langella slowly steps out of frame. Wile E. Coyote steps in, grabs his Acme cannonball, and is taken out of the film.
This guy's abs.
it's like Homer.
I mean, it's slab bulkhead, punt speed chunk, and big McLarge huge, all of their abs layered on top of each other.
He might as well have ridden this cannonball out the side of this thing while waving a cowboy hat above his head.
So Frank Langella gets his cannonball to the gut, is fired through many...
Yeah, we see at least three layers of boat. Yeah.
Many walls of this ship and out into the open air
while
just holding this stupid cannonball.
Yeah, he goes through the whole goddamn ship. And yeah, just out the back. And
that, someone said that would be cool.
Yeah.
And so he did it.
Yeah, the fanfic that they base this on.
At this point, you're just like, sure, whatever. All right, fight's over.
I'm sure this is one of those ones where if you ask Frank Langella, he would be just like, I have a kid in college.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I didn't think it was like, I was searching around on the floor around my couch because my eyeballs had melted out of my head at this point. And I was just like, what the hell did I just see? What the hell just happened? Where am I? Am I Daredevil now? What's going on?
You found you have a new sense of sight, a sense of sight that only triggers when you cry.
Yes.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. It's like, wait, no. Because now I can only smell how horrible this movie is.
Oh, now there's dessert.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're the only two left on his ship, on the Reaper.
Yeah, Morgan and Shaw. So Morgan finally goes back and is like now digging under the water to help Shaw because he's drowning. He's fucking drowning. She finally releases him, and they're like, well, we got to get off here. Now, I know we want the gold. I want some gold, too, but give me the gold. Where's the gold at?
Hold on, wait. I'll catch up. He's like, what are you doing? We got to go. Like, what are you doing? She's gone for like a minute or two underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she comes up. She goes, all right, let's go. Then they finally leave.
Yeah, we need to go now, because this place is going to explode.
Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about explosions. Holy crap. Like, I think they just filled the entirety of this with, some kind of high explosive. I mean, it's a small step down from the cement truck in Mythbusters.
That was badass, by the way.
Yeah, that was badass.
That was pretty badass.
But it looks like one of the ships from Independence Day just fired its main laser down at this ship because it blows up. Like, every single part of it flies off. It's a cool explosion.
It's smithereens, like, for real. Like,
yeah. But you're like, what, why?
Yeah, why? The whole, the ship was, like, sunk at this point for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's underwater. What is exploding?
There's not much of this left.
What is exploding? Did you have 300,000 pounds of C4 in the captain's cabin?
They stored gunpowder everywhere on the ship.
I guess so.
Everything that wasn't underwater is full of gunpowder.
Yeah. It was in all the walls.
Yeah. That's where they store it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a mule vehicle.
Yeah.
Nice. They're just like, it looks like we're going to have to jump, and the whole thing just explodes.
Looks like somebody's going to have to.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting to. Yeah. We see these two gentlemen. Just do a swan dive off this boat.
One wearing a Gina Davis wig.
Kinda.
It's like a Gina suit.
She just wanted sugar water.
Yeah, like this is so clearly not them. It's terrible.
Oh. And then,
of course, they survive that.
What the hell even happened? They all have the treasure. Gina Davis has the treasure.
She tied a barrel to the treasure so that they can get it later. Smart, except there's no way that barrel survived that explosion. Just no way.
Real.
The treasure's slag now, the force of that blast.
Yeah.
It's all just fused together.
Yeah. Well, even if it wasn't, like, Which also would have been a perfect ending, like, have, you know, I mean, but probably would have killed him, but if gold, you know, coins started raining down on them or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever those was holding that treasure is not in one piece
anymore.
Yeah,
it's not tied to that paladin anymore. Yeah. Not at all.
For sure.
But then they all wave their hands and dance around.
Also, how shallow is that water if you can just...
it's got to be like 200 feet. I don't know. It's
too big warships operating in it. It's got to be pretty deep.
Well, this is what I'm saying. So then how did that barrel reach the surface? Well, okay. Anyway.
Whatever.
They get all the gold. They're like, all right, this is awesome. We won the day. We're rich pirates now. We got all this money. We can be awesome. We can do whatever we want.
And they're just like, I don't know. You know, maybe.
Worse than that. They're like, Gina Davis is like, we could just live like kings. Or we go after more treasure, guys. What do you think? And they're like, huh? Can we think about it? And one of them's just like, I kind of want to be a farmer. And everybody's just like, yay!
Yeah, because at that point, the movie was sitting there and realized that it crapped itself and was like, oh, damn.
The score just started off.
Yeah.
Wrap like, it up, me.
Movie did the play the music hand gesture while it quietly... excused itself from the theater while no one was looking.
The wrap it up music was just the rest of the crew. They're just like, yay! That means it's over! Like, we're not done yet. Yay! I still got lines! Yay!
Alright. The ship sails off. Lieutenant Trotter's a pirate now, and Sean Morgan retire to their cabin to fuck. And that's
and a monkey make faces.
Credits.
Yeah.
That's how you build.
The monkey's enjoying the fucking treasure.
Yeah.
Like you should.
And the monkey has a knife finally, which why didn't we see more of that? But anyway, that is Cutthroat Island from 1995. So on one RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this an overall score of 38%. Audience gave this a score of 40%. That's what they thought about this movie. What about you, Brian? Would you recommend this?
So this movie is garbage. I think 38% is a little generous, only because, like, I can, story-wise, I can see where it was going, because, you know, you're gonna find find a treasure movie. Fine. Cool. It was poorly edited. The acting was piss poor. Like I was saying as we were watching it, either go all in with the immersion as far as accents and shit, or just scrap it all together. I don't want both. I don't want someone being given their all being British and then like someone being like from fucking New York. I don't want that shit. Like either or. If I need to know right up front what I'm getting. So like, I'd watch, if you want a pirate movie, honestly, I'd watch Princess Bride, only because of Dread Pirate Roberts, who is a better pirate than anyone in this movie, even though he's not like on the pirate ship for very long. Still, like, watch that movie. It's a better movie. I don't give a fuck. Don't watch this movie.
I am the Dread Pirate Robert.
And what do you have to say about this Dread Pirate Robert?
No. This movie's terrible. Like Brian said, the acting was ridiculous. The writing was ridiculous. It was just, like, it was just bad on every level. And it was, like, there were cool fight scenes in there, but it takes so long to get there. And the movie felt so long. It's 2 hours long, and it's 10 hours long, and it's 30 hours long, and I just don't want it anymore. No, I don't recommend it.
Joe?
I am also not going to recommend it. So, I usually advocate that a movie should be as long as it needs to be. This movie needed to be 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. 2 hours is way too damn long. And a lot could have been cut out or shortened, and you wouldn't have missed any of it. I think the critic and audience scores are about right, because I expected this movie to be like a kick in the groin, and it was more like somebody like booped the tip enough to make you go like, whoa, but not enough to, you know, like make you double over in pain. Like, I was expecting this movie to be fucking terrible. And it's serviceable, and I could see how some people could enjoy it. So I would say it's like a light failure, but a failure nonetheless. It's not really worth watching. There's one really cool explosion. That's basically it.
Yeah, I'm definitely not recommending this either. As stated several times now, like, the acting is bad. It would be one thing if I could, kind of forgive some of the mediocre stunts when it was actually the actors, because it's actually the actors, and I'd give them more credit for that. But there's so much CGI and stunt doubles, bad stunt doubles, that I can't really give them all that much credit. Like, just pick a path and go with it, dude. Like, it's, they're all over the place with that. And it's just bad. And not even like a so bad it's good, or, you know, dumb enough to be entertaining. Like, again, the few fight scenes are decent, but, like, not worth sitting through the movie. If you want to see bad acting, there's some really bad lines and really poorly delivered, but not worth sitting through the whole movie. If you want to see, you know, bad CGI stunt effects, there's some in there, but not worth sitting through the whole movie. So it's just not worth sitting through this movie. I know, you know, I like Gina Davis. I do. She's been in a lot of things I like, at least. And I know Rennie Harlan was her husband at the time, so that's probably a big part of why this happened. But yeah. But I feel like this literally, like, set us back a few years. Like, this is why we had to wait this long for a Wonder Woman movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, cause like I said, this was, you know, a big women adventure spearheaded movie, and it did not go well. So yeah, I can't give this movie any credit.
Yeah, that didn't. I mean, you can't blame
it's,
that.
It didn't help.
It doesn't fall all on this movie's shoulders, yeah. But it's not helping, and it's but certainly
as long as aliens exist, you can't really say that's
You know where I think this would have worked? If this was like a cheesy mid-90s TV show, a la like a Xena Hercules kind of
Briscoe
production.
County Jr.
Briscoe County Jr. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing suddenly is, a lot of that cheesiness, I think I would be a lot more willing to accept.
If this was 90 minutes,
yep.
I think I probably would have recommended it on a so bad it's good level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it was shorter, that would definitely give it a lot more points.
Because for every cool explosion, there's a dude riding a cannonball. So, I mean,
that has a certain charm to it.
But that's just itself. If we went from cool fight scene and explosion to dude riding a cannonball and bad one-liners, that's something worth watching. But there's all this other garbage in the middle that bogs it down.
It's just too much.
And you know what's sad? It's like, I kind of do wish it was worse. Because if it was like,
oh yeah,
like all the actors were acting as terrible as like a Troll 2, but then Frank Langella was overacting to the degree that like Jeremy Irons was in Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
That would be such an awesome like 1-2 punch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but to go back on your point about the dick tap.
Yeah.
Like if it kicked you harder,
yeah,
it would have been a story.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to be a story.
Yeah.
So like,
that's the thing. This wasn't so much painful like a kick in the nuts as it was insulting, like a slap in the face. Like, I was just angry watching it.
See, I didn't feel insulted by the movie. I was just like, I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel slighted or like, is this an affront to humanity? It's does this exist?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't mean like, I'm like, this is wrong somehow. No, I'm just like, I don't want to be watching this. I could be doing something else with my time.
And I was just going to say, like, I think the biggest thing is watching this whole movie, all you can think is, that's 2 hours I'm not getting back in my life.
Yeah.
So
I could be trying to figure out how to make a pillow out of pudding.
You don't know how to do that?
I mean, not one that I could sleep on.
I want to change the movie I was talking about. Don't watch Princess Bride. Watch Goonies instead.
Well, I mean, Princess Bride.
Yes. But like not to replace this one, just because it's an awesome movie. But Goonies is a find the treasure movie. There's a pirate ship. There's dead pirates. Mm-hmm. There's a fight in the scaffolding. There's a guy who rides down the fucking sail on a sword. Like there's treasure. There's booby traps.
It's got all that goofy pirate stuff you want.
That's why I said booby traps.
Yeah. Watch Goonies, and I wonder if Maddie liked this movie. I wonder.
I somehow doubt Maddie's seen this movie. Okay. But we'll find out.
Becca certainly did.
She liked it?
Yeah. She was excited I was reviewing this.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good thing she doesn't listen. So, all right, we're going with Goonies as a recommendation. Since
can't make everybody happy. Just gotta keep it real.
And you know what? To everybody, you know, like the movies you like, it's fine. You don't have to agree with us. That's cool. Anyway, what do we have up next, Brian?
It's that D20 of fate time. It's time to roll.
It's your turn, right?
It's my turn?
It is your turn.
Oh, shit, I didn't even think about like what movie I was going to watch if we landed on it, but I have an idea. All right, so you roll that D20 of fate, see what we watch next. An 11.
11?
All right. I saw one at first, and I was like, no, then there's another one, so.
Well, see, I saw two numbers, and I got excited.
All right, well, number 11 is the Kevin Sorbo classic, Call the Conqueror, wow, from 1997.
More mid-90s schlock.
Yep. Yep. This time it's one at least most of us have seen in the theater?
I didn't see it in the theater.
I didn't see it in the theater either.
I was just mentioning Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, he's in it?
I believe so.
Tia Carrere's in this, right?
I think so. I believe she's the evil sorceress or something.
Is it Tia or one of the other ones?
I don't know.
Think it's Asia.
Just like the Sheens and Estevez. Oh, well, you never know.
I don't. It's been a long time since I've seen this. Don't question me too hard, right? It's Kevin Sorbo. And yeah, we're just talking about Hercules and everything. It's all coming full circle in a way I do not appreciate.
We gotta get out of the 90s.
It's like that circle of like watching a poop go down the toilet. Like,
Yeah, and I'm sorry to any that disagree, but yeah, much like I said in the 90s, man, we need to get out of the 90s. Anyway.
Better stuff in the 90s.
So, what else do we have for the people, Rob?
Well, what we have for you is our thanks. We want to thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe. You can subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts, basically. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. You can find us there, Facebook and Twitter, at 4AM Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, you want to share a story, or whatever, just email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And that's it. We're also on Instagram at 4ampodcast. You can check us out there too.
You know what we didn't do? We didn't give Rich an assignment.
It's okay. It's all right.
I guess we didn't need him on this.
Okay. Wait. I have it. Rich. Oh, no. Why do pirate boots have heels?
And spurs.
And spurs. Well, I think that was more the director. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, spurs are for riding horses. You don't really need spurs on pirate boots. But. So why do they have heels? My guess is that it's for being able to climb on the riggings and stuff. But I could be completely wrong. So. Just let us know.
For everybody else, write in, tell us your favorite pirate movie.
Yeah.
Why not?
There you go.
All right.
All right, then.
But, yeah, that's all we got for now. So we'll see you next week with Call the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Until then.
Deuces.
I'm going to eat a Dorito before I say something racist.
Yar! Which nobody said in this friggin' movie.
Good night, everybody.